Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is going on, Packer fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is great to be here today. It is always great to be chatting Green Bay Packers. We've got a lot to discuss, so we're going to get into it right away. First of all, shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Band-Aid. Not sure why you go by Band-Aid. It's a great name, I guess. Thank you so much for signing up to become a member. Thank you so much for that, and I hope you're enjoying all the extra stuff. We got a members Q&A coming up on Thursday at 5:30, so if you're not signed up yet, make sure to do so so you can get access to that. Lots of NFL news, lots and lots of NFL news. Free agency hasn't kicked off yet, but that hasn't stopped things from happening ahead of the opening, you know, tampering period next Monday. There's going to be a lot of news between now and then, and it did not disappoint. On Wednesday, DK Metcalf officially has requested a trade from Seattle. This sort of confirms all the talk last week of DK is available and teams are interested and showing interest. Now we know that DK is also interested in moving out of Seattle and is looking to play for a contender. Enter the Green Bay Packers. We'll see. It makes a ton of sense. I am hearing legitimate, what I believe to be legitimate whispers that this might actually be a thing, that this Romeo Doubs plus the pick thing might actually be in play. I don't have sources. I will probably never have sources. I don't really care to have sources. It's not my thing. I enjoy talking Packers every day. That's my thing. But it does sound like there is maybe some smoke and fire to these DK to Green Bay rumors. Of course, even if, right, Goody gets to, I'm going to give you a second round pick. I'm going to give you Romeo Doubs. I'm going to give DK a 25 plus mil per year contract over 4 years. Even if that, which by the way, does not sound like Goody at all. I'm going to give a receiver 25 million plus, plus give away a second round pick and a young wide receiver that's cheaper for that wide receiver. It's not exactly a Goody move. But even if he gets to that point and says, Seattle, all right, second round pick, Romeo Doubs, and I worked out the contract with DK and his agent already, we're good to go. All it takes is one other team to say first round pick or second round pick in a better player or better second round pick in the same similar type of player. Like any of those, and Green Bay just gets outbid, right? We'll see if it happens. I'm not still holding my breath on this, but I do think there is a legit possibility. And this is the first, like we've been talking about DK for a month now, and we didn't even know that he was going to become available. It was just sort of this hypothesis of, I think at some point he might be available or at least gettable in some way. And now it's like, not only is he gettable, not only is it a possibility, he's right there. It's highest bidder time. He's going to probably not be in Seattle next year. It's likely that he's going to be playing for another team. Now it's just up to Green Bay if they want to be the highest bidder and go get him and make him a member of the Green Bay Packers. Joey Bosa released by the Chargers. Everyone on Packers, not everyone, that's not true. Nobody agrees on everything, right? But immediately, Packers Twitter blows up. Oh my goodness, Joey Bosa, Joey Bosa, Joey Bosa. See a lot of the same people that are saying Joey Bosa, Joey Bosa, that are complaining about Jair Alexander's playing time, that are complaining about Christian Watson's playing time, that are complaining about all the injuries on the team. I want Joey Bosa, Bosa, Bosa. You hear the name, you see the Madden rating, you see the all of it, right? The there's, you know, former first round pick. There's a cachet that comes with the name Bosa. There's no two ways around it. Joey Bosa has played about 1,000 snaps in the last 3 years combined. If you're frustrated with the lack of playing time for Christian Watson over the last couple of years, Christian Watson has more snaps and playing time in the last 2 years than Joey Bosa has in the last 3 years. He does not play over these past few years. I mean, 1,000 snaps over a three-year period of time is a ridiculously limited number of snaps. Maybe he's healthy. Maybe he stays healthy through the entirety of the year. If you check everything out, and he looks great, and you feel like he's actually going to be able to break out and play in a major way and get back to the form that he was once in, sure, go for it. It's a little bit on the older side. He's been very much on the injured side. He hasn't played a ton. I do not see this as something that Green Bay is going to do. if they do it, you know they're going to feel good about the injury history and that he's good to go moving forward, which will make me a little bit more at ease, because if Green Bay's dotted their I's and crossed their T's and said, yep, we're good to go with it, hopefully, fingers crossed, that's the case. I just don't see it, nor do I think Green Bay should get involved based on the fact that over a three-year period of time, he's rarely played. I mean, we're talking less than Jair, less than Christian Watson. That's where he's at. So I would not add that. And I saw somebody like, well, this way, when Rashawn Gary or LVN are hurt, you know, now you've got Joey Bosa when he's actually healthy. It's like, if your solution to having already injured players is to add another oft injured player, that's probably not the best idea in the world, right? I just don't see it. I don't see it. It's not impossible, but I would not do it if I were Green Bay. Christian Kirk released by Jacksonville. This is probably a no-go. He's still super talented. Maybe that's aggressive, but he's still talented, can still win, but he's primarily a slot guy. And you just have that position covered already with Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed. Like, those are guys are going to play there already. Bo Melton can play there. You don't really need a slot guy. You need an outside wide receiver. Christian Kirk can play there a little bit, but he does it, you know, the best of his damage in the slot. So I don't see that happening. Joe Thuney traded to the Bears for a future fourth round pick. He's on a 1-year deal. He obviously had to play tackle last year for KC. He'll move back inside to guard. Chicago doing a right thing in going over and acquiring offensive linemen, Joe Thuney and Jonah Jackson, this week already, that are going to fit this system very well. Jonah Jackson's played in it already with Ben Johnson in Detroit. Thuney's going to fit it perfectly. Now, Thuney's 32. Jonah Jackson's a little bit older. Jackson's had some injury issues as well. I like the overarching idea for Chicago of like, hey, last year we did this all wrong. We got a rookie quarterback, and instead of protecting him, we got him weapons, Keenan Allen, and Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Rome Odunze. They went out and got weapons when they should have gotten offensive linemen. Now they're course correcting and saying, all right, we need to build this offensive lineup. And I think for the most part, that's a smart move. I think they overpaid a little bit for Thuney with a future fourth with a 1-year deal left and at age, 33, I think it is. But it's not bad philosophy overall from Chicago. It's smart to build up the offensive line, and Thuney and Jonah Jackson will be a really good guard pairing and should give Caleb Williams a little bit more sense of security on the interior of that offensive line moving forward. Tyler Lockett released from Seattle. I do not see Green Bay being interested in that. Zach Bond, huge new contract with Philly. Max Crosby, huge new contract with the Raiders. Bradley Chubb restructured his contract. If you were hoping for Zach Bond, Max Crosby, or Bradley Chubb, those dreams are dead. The Zach Bond signing, along with the Saquon Barkley one the other day, makes it very likely that Milton Williams and Josh Sweat do become available in free agency. And that is the expectation by most, is that both of those players will test the free agent market, which could be good news for Green Bay if they're interested in either player. And then last but not least, Sam Hubbard retired from the Cincinnati Bengals and from the NFL. Bengals were going to release him anyway. Hubbard decides to retire. Those are your big pieces of news. Of course, there were some other smaller stuff that happened as well. I think Alex Kappa signed with the Raiders, those sort of things. But those were the big pieces of news. From a Packers standpoint, Zane Anderson, exclusive rights free agent. They tendered him officially. They'll tender all of their guys. This is not a surprise. This is just procedure and policy. Like, it's just a matter of actually going through the actions. These are all no-brainer decisions. Zane Anderson will be back on a bare minimum deal with no guarantees based on the fact that he was an ERFA or exclusive rights free agent. Isaiah McDuffie's contract is officially out there. It's basically like $3 million this year. And then if you look at it next year, it's closer to the $5 million mark. It's a little bit. Let me just bring it up really quick here. It's overall, it makes all the sense in the world. And if you look at it for what you're actually getting this year and next year, you're going to basically have an option next year on whether or not you want them on the team still. So $3 million this year, again, $5 million next year, give or take $25,000 here or there, but it's an $8 million total. This is the best way to look at it. If he plays 2 years, okay, if he plays both years, he'll get $3 million this year. This is what goes towards the salary cap. I never care about the money that goes in his bank account or whatever. It always matters from a salary cap standpoint when you're looking at it from a fan standpoint. So $3 million this year, $5 million he'll cost against the salary cap next year. All right, that's what you're basically looking at here. And then if you decide to release him next year, he'll still count $3 million against the salary cap this year, but he'll count $1.275 million against the cap next year. So what basically you end up happening is, if you play him for 1 year, you're going to pay him a total of $4.3 million. If you keep him for 2 years, you're going to pay him $8 million. So that's sort of the contract in a nutshell for Isaiah McDuffie. All right. Other Packers news, Mason Crosby, my partner in crime over on the Fan, 105.7 and 1250 AM on the Fan in Milwaukee. I do the Packaday radio show. And then immediately following is the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Nellis. And Mason Crosby officially retiring as a member of the Green Bay Packers, which you absolutely love to see. So great for Mason. Well-deserved. And I would assume he will be a Packers Hall of Famer sooner rather than later. Hey friends, all football season we talk about all the amazing options that Prize Picks has available and the multiple different stat categories and promotions that are there for you to take advantage of. But it's worth noting that Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football, and it is a great time of year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So who are you taking for Prize Picks this week? For me, I'm going with Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball to put on a show on Wednesday night, Evan Mobley to dominate on Friday, and David Pastrnak to have a massive game for Boston on Thursday. No matter what season it is, just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. That does it for Packers news. That does it for NFL news. Let's get into our main topic for today. And that is Dio Odengbo. Very, very interesting player. Let me start with the big report. Wendell Ferreira. I'm saying that 1,000,000% wrong. I love Wendell. Wendell's amazing. Go follow him on social media. A to Z Sports reporting that Dio Odengbo is a free agent, a major top free agent target for Green Bay. We talked about it when we went over our defensive line series. I finished with 6 players that I thought Green Bay would have potential interest in, and Dio was one of those. He is a very interesting study, and I'm really excited to dig into it today because let's start with the elephant in the room, okay? When you have Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa and to an extent Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, and you're thinking of maybe there's a trade possibility for Myles Garrett and Max Crosby, and then you hear Green Bay is interested in Dio Odengbo, you're like, what the? I get it. Your immediate thought process goes to, can we just get the guy that's already really great? Like just one time, can you go get that? And to be fair, they did, right? They just did it with Josh Jacobs. They just did it with Xavier McKinney. But I know what you're thinking. I understand it entirely. Like there's all of these proven commodities out there. Can you just get one of those rather than Dio Odengbo, who's a little bit more of an unproven commodity and is a little bit more of a projection? And I know already that you hate that word I just said. He's a bit of a projection. You're getting shivers down your spine. You're getting, you know, this connotation of like LVN is popping in your head and Quentin Rollins is popping in your head and Nick Perry's popping in your head and all of these Packers that are draft and develop and there's so much potential. They have so much potential and they could look what they could do down the road. And you're done with potential. This is a good team that's already chock full of potential. You want players who can come in and dominate right now. Damn it. I get it. I wholeheartedly get it. Let's go through all of that today. Profile 25 years old. He turns 26 in September. Still, we talked about it yesterday on my ideal offseason, right? What players did I target? The young ones. Milton Williams, 25 years old. Paulson Adebo, 25 years old. You're more often than not better off targeting the younger, super talented players. That's normally going to pay off better for you than going with the veteran 30-year-olds. Just good philosophy. Doesn't mean that a Davante Adams or a Khalil Mack could not help you. I am cool with both of those signings. If you told me that Green Bay ends this free agency period with Davante Adams and Khalil Mack, a 34 and a 32 or 33-year-old collectively, I am all in on it. Add a Darius Slay in there too. Bring me Calais Campbell. I don't care. Those are 4 very good football players. I don't really care about their age. I like all 4 of those players. But on the whole, if you're looking at what they're going to give you for a length of a contract or what they're, hopefully going to be moving forward, the younger players are probably a little bit better of a direction to go in general. Not always, but in general. So going after a 25-year-old who turns 26 in September, I can understand. Fits the core of the team, is on the same timeline, a lot of upside ahead of him, not a lot of wear and tear. Usually that's a better direction to go in when you're going to spend a lot of money in free agency. He is 6'6", 286. He looks the part, man. He absolutely looks the part. I'm going to give you a name right now to think of when we're going through the scouting report and all the information on Dayo Odengbo today. Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones comes to mind immediately when you watch him. And if you remember some of those big time Chandler Jones years, a lot of those happened with his second team. He was obviously really great right away too. I'm not saying he wasn't, but Chandler Jones is the player that comes to mind. 6'6", 286. And this is a Packers type edge all day, every day, from future production and potential and upside to just freaky skill set at 6'6", 286. They love their bigger edge rushers, guys who can set the edge as well as be pass rushers. This is Green Bay Packers defensive end written all over it. Now, our good friend over at Acme Packing Company, Justice Mosqueda, did a recent article looking at the edge rushers in this class, comparing them to the ones that the Packers already have. And he looked at it in a great way. There are 83 edge defenders that he looked at that qualified for this metric. And what he looked at is the average amount of pressures and then how these players stacked up on, you know, against the average. Pressures over average is what we'll call it. Rashawn Gary was plus 19.1 pressures over average last year, which was 13th of the 83 edge rushers. And Igbari was negative 6.2, which was 48th of the 83. And LVN was negative 9.8, which was 54th of the 83 edge rushers. Some of the top free agents available, Chase Young was plus 24.6, which was ninth best amongst 83 edge defenders. Khalil Mack was plus 19.8, which was 11th best of 83. Josh Sweat was plus 0.3, 32nd out of 83, and Dayo Odengbo was negative 3.5, 43 out of 83. So basically right dab in the middle was Dayo Odengbo. The big thing that you need to know here too about Odengbo is his scouting report coming out, not necessarily the scouting report in and of itself, but what happened. Odengbo was expected to be a premium player in the 2021 NFL draft, likely a first round pick. And then getting ready in the pre-draft process, he sustained an Achilles injury, tore his Achilles, and it ended up costing him significantly. And yet he still went in the second round of that year's draft by the Indianapolis Colts because of how freaky and talented this guy is. Tore his Achilles, still went in the second round. Now, if you're looking at it from a PFF standpoint, as we often like to do, you don't have to take this for anything more than what it is. But it's usually a good, at least, indicator of where the player's at. 746 snaps this past year, 439 pass rushing snaps, had a 66.1 PFF grade, a 56.8 run defense grade, 28.9 tackling grade, which is really, really bad, 65.5 pass rush grade, and then he just had one coverage snap, so that one doesn't really matter. He finished with 42 pressures this past year, 4 sacks, 13 hits, 25 hurries, and 9 missed tackles within that. So the 25 hurries, 13 hits, and 4 sacks is how you get to the 42 pressures. And then he also had 9 missed tackles. In 2023, he played 623 snaps, had 365 pass rush snaps, had a 56.9 PFF grade with a 49.1 run defense grade, a 68.2 pass rush grade, 29 pressures, but 12 sacks. That's not sustainable. If you're only getting 29 pressures, more often than not, you're not going to get 12 sacks. And it sort of, you know, came back and regressed to the mean this past year when he had a lot more pressures, 42, and only got 4 sacks. So those things usually have a way of evening out over time. But 29 pressures, which included 12 sacks, 7 hits, and 10 hurries in 2023. This past year in 2024, PFF had him graded as the 53rd best defensive end out of 119 eligible players. Now, if you're looking at a sort of comparison to what Green Bay would potentially be thinking here, you don't really need to look much further than Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith is almost to a T what Green Bay is sort of looking for here in Odengbo. Za'Darius Smith, his PFF grades in his first 4 seasons in Baltimore, 58.3, 54.1, 60.5, 69.6. Deo, 61.4, 62.6, 56.9, 66.1. Very, very similar overall. Now, the main difference is that Z in his last year in Baltimore had 61 pressures and 10 sacks. Deo, 42 pressures and 4 sacks. That's 19 fewer pressures and 6 fewer sacks. They're both 25 going on 26 when Green Bay is looking to sign both of those players. At least Z they signed. We'll see if they have interest in Deo. Again, the report is that they do. So this is what you are looking at, is they're looking for that next sort of Za'Darius Smith. Somebody that has all the freaky upside that you can tell is going to be a player, but hasn't really quite put it together yet. And you're hoping he's going to put it together in Green Bay. Za'Darius worked out pretty dang well those first 2 years until the injury and the just divorce happened at that point. But those first 2 years were pretty epic for Za'Darius. This is what Green Bay is looking to sort of repeat here, is going out and finding another potential Za'Darius Smith in Dayo Odenigbo. The contract is what is a interesting piece of this. Tom Pelissero tweets out that he's going to get $16 to $20 million per year. PFF, $16.5 million on a 4-year deal, $39.5 million guaranteed. And Spotrac, $16 million on a 4-year contract, $64 million total. So Pelissero, PFF, Spotrac, all in that $16 million range. I think he's going to get probably 18 to 20, but 16 could be right as well. And there's a lot of money out there to spend, and pass rush is going to be a premium for just about every team that's looking. The one thing I will add here before we get into my scouting report as I went back and watched the tape is you always need to remember you don't want to pay for what they were. You want to pay for what they're going to be. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, some of these players were unbelievable players in their prime. They're no longer in their prime. I still think Mack was unbelievable this past year, but I digress. You want to pay for what they're going to become. And the truth is that with Bosa and with Khalil Mack, probably at some time in the near future, that's going to continue to decline. Odenigbo, you're hoping is going to continue to improve and progress in a positive manner, not in a negative manner. There are plenty of positives on tape from Dayo. He's got unbelievable length. The wingspan is incredible, and it helps him in a variety of different ways. He is physical as a pass rusher. He completely powers offensive linemen's arms right out of the way. So you'll see offensive linemen come up, and he just chops down their arms and then gets around them and then explodes probably aggressive. This is how it is. It's not an explosion to the quarterback, but he's so tall and long. He's got that long stride, and he eats up space in a hurry. So all of a sudden he's like even, and then he's just like there. It's like go gadget arms and legs, and it's just like you see him, and he's even with the offensive tackle, and you're like, all right, well, this is just not going to go. And then all of a sudden he's there. It's like, what just happened? How is he there that quickly when he's not the speed rusher? But he has a very good first step, and he does have some acceleration to his game, no question about it. I love some of his little tricks of the trade. He's got a little slingshot move, so he's going against the tight end. He uses the tight end to turn the corner and then rips him to almost like propel himself forward. Like just some really fun stuff like that that you'll see in his tape. It's like, this dude is, he's thinking. He's using the player and their momentum against him while also propelling himself in the process. Like just some really fun plays like that on tape. As I mentioned, good first step. Length is a major problem for opposing offensive linemen, and especially when he's like closing the back door. So closing the back door, we've talked about this in the past, your stretch play to the other side and you're leaving the defensive end unblocked, and he's got to come back and cut down all of those cutback lanes. He's all of a sudden there. He's got good quickness. If you don't block him, and then that length, like the running back sometimes will try to cut back and the length, he's just there. He's like, that's sort of like Dayo Odenigbo. He's just there. Like, I don't know how he's there. I don't know how he got there. I don't know what just happened, but he's got unbelievable length and he's just there. That's Dayo Odenigbo. He can play either outside, left side, right side, and he also can play inside. And guess who just happened to stand up over center and over guard from time to time as well? Very similar to what Za'Darius Smith did. And I want to be clear. These are not two of the exact type of players. Za'Darius is a different type of pass rusher than what Dayo Odenigbo is. They're not the same, just athleticism and things like that. They're different. They're totally different players. But the reason I brought up Za'Darius is sort of the productivity at Baltimore, the timeline of where Zadarius broke out, Green Bay is looking for something similar to that. And obviously Green Bay signed Zadarius, et cetera, et cetera. But they're different types of players. But you will see Dio stand up like Zadarius did over center, over guard, and they use him in a lot of variety of unique different ways, which is a very fun thing to do. And I'm sure something Jeff Hafley would love to have on that defensive front. Good instincts, screenplays, end arounds, reverses. He is all over those. Green Bay ran a reverse against him last year. I think it was Melton, and Dio Odengbo was all over it in the backfield. He did that three times in like the first eight games of the season last year. Just they tried running reverses on him, and Dio was there in the backfield every single time. He makes it look really simple at times. And this is kind of my point of where he's just there. Like, you see him and he gets out of his stance and the offensive tackle's there. And usually it's just like one of those things, they're like, all right, offensive tackles there, he wins. And then all of a sudden, he either makes a move or just with his length and his size, he just kind of gets a little bit of a sliver past. And all of a sudden, before you know it, he's to the quarterback. And it's like, he didn't even do anything. Like, what? How did that even happen? But he does it. It's very sneaky. It looks simple, but it's very, very effective. As I mentioned, the length comes in very handy. He can win with quickness. He's got a really nice swim move as well, a spin move. You will see a swim from time to time, but he has a really nice spin move. As I mentioned, can play hand in the dirt or standing up. I do believe some of his sack issues or lack of productivity, especially this past year, was a victim of circumstance. There were a multitude of times where he immediately would get to the quarterback and the quarterback would just get rid of the ball, which is what it is. But he easily could have had a few more if things just went slightly different and in his favor, just didn't end up working out that way. He has a little bit of violence as a pass rusher. As a run defender, it's different. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But as a pass rusher, there is some legitimate violence. And when he gets to the quarterback, he is looking to hit that quarterback. Not just I'm going to gently bring you down to the ground. No, he's going to level a hit on that QB if he gets the opportunity. And then for his size, changes directions remarkably well. Like, I would not have expected it. I was expecting this straight line, but no, he changes directions very, very incredibly well for his size. Unfortunately, there are some negatives as well. Plays too high. This is going to happen when you're a 6'6", defensive end. You're going to get too high sometimes, and good offensive linemen will use that against him, get under his pads, and just not allow him to get where he wants to go on the field. Here's the big thing. He's not a good run defender. There is zero reason why he can't be more physical in run defense. He's got everything at his disposal to be one of the best run defenders in the league. At 6'6", 286 at defensive end, there's zero excuse for it, and he's just not that good at it. And that is, I think, a level of frustrating. And if you're Green Bay, you look at it and say, we can make him into a good run defender because he's got everything at his disposal that he needs to be a great run defender. But he hasn't shown it. And it's been very inconsistent. I think he loves rushing the passer. I think he probably looks at run defense as more of a chore. Kind of feels that way watching the tape. But he needs to be better at it. There's zero reason why he can't be a very good run defender, but he just has not been. Kind of always wants, it leaves you wanting a little bit more. And the question is, why not more? Why only four sacks? Why the lack of pressures? This is my final verdict here on him, but I'll just kind of spoil it right now. He has no idea how good he can be. And I mean, no idea. He can be one of the premier pass rushers and just defenders in this league if he just decides, that it just clicks for him. I don't think he's not lazy by any means. I wouldn't put it that way. He works hard in the games, but man, if he just recognizes how freaking talented he is, how good he is, and that he can probably take over anytime he wants. Like it to me is not an effort thing. It's just like just that moment. Like when you have it, he has it. And it's like Neo in the Matrix when he goes to the Oracle and it's like, you got the gift, kid. I don't know what you're waiting for. Maybe your next life. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's waiting for his next life, but he's already good. He has every right to be great to amazing. What are you waiting for? Go do it. It's right there for you. Take it. So that's what I'm waiting for. The big question here is, why not more? How can he go from week 9 to 18 without a sack in a contract year? How can he go from weeks 13 to 18 with only 9 pressures in 5 games played? I don't understand it. It should be so much better based on the gifts, based on the tape, based on the things that you see him do. Just at times isn't. Double teams he struggles against. Footwork can be much better against the run. Too many missed tackles, and of course had that Achilles injury as well. My verdict here, he is a scout's dream. He's a Goody dream. He's a dream for what they love at defensive end. They're going to fall in love with this guy. And it is so easy to fall in love with him when you put on the tape. He is juicing. I'm probably going to need to edit that out. He is oozing potential. It's uncanny. I like him. I really, really like him. And I'll go back to where we started. I understand it. Khalil Mack, some of these big name defensive ends, the proven commodities, that's what you need right now. This guy has the ability to be better. And I know you hate that. You just want, I'm done with potential and I get it. I totally 1000% get it. I would tell you guys, by the way, too, like I went into this being like, this is the last thing that Green Bay needs is, you know, any sort of play. I mean, we should be clear here too. It's not like he's like, you know, 12 pressures and 2 sacks, right? This is somebody that was still getting 40 some pressures this past year. He can be an 80 pressure guy. I really, truly believe that. I think he can be that freaking good. Whether he is or not, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, but you're betting on the upside. You're betting that he's going to get there. 25 years old, like he's still incredibly young and so freaking talented. He has no idea how good he can be. He is a pain to pass protect against. He's got to find a way to be better against the run. He just has to. There's no reason he can't be a damn good run defender, like a really, really good run defender. He's just not right now. And he can be a much better pass rusher. Like he can, like, and there's not anything that's really holding him back. Just it needs to click in his head to be like, oh, I can just go out and dominate on every snap. What am I waiting for? He's that good. So the production needs to be more. If you're going to pay him 20 mil a year, you better be right. Man, you better be right. Because if you pay 20 mil a year and you get even the 40 pressures, it's like, okay, it's fine. He's going to add to your team for sure. But you're looking for a lot more than that. You're hoping he can become that 80 pressure guy that I think he can become. I'm in. I like him enough. I really do. Tape's really, really fun. I think his best days are ahead of him. I think there's not many defensive linemen that you could say that for. It's a risk. It's a little bit of a risk. That's not even real. Like, it's a risk giving him that big of a contract for what he's done so far. But man, he is a good, like, I don't see any world where he's going to come in and Joe Johnson this thing. This is not, there's no world in which he comes in and is a bad player or a bust or anything like that. Like, he will help this team no matter what. Like, he will help any of the 32 teams that he goes to. He's very scheme versatile. He will help all 32. If you put him in, he will help any team. He will easily be a part of that rotation and he will be a good defender for you no matter what. If you're going to pay 20 mil a year and he's going to be one of your big free agent signings, you're not looking for good. You're looking for great. And I think he can be great, but that's what you're gambling on. Can he actually get there? Can he actually be one of these elite defenders? I know a lot of people want that elite defender that's already an elite defender. This, you get younger, a little bit maybe cheaper, and somebody that fits exactly what Green Bay looks for. There's a little bit more of a premium price to that, and there's a little bit more of a question mark of can he actually reach that potential? I think he can. I think he will. Hope it's not anywhere outside of, you know, Green Bay inside the division, but I'm willing to take the small amount of risk that's out there. I think he has all the ability in the world. And I think he's just finally starting to reach what hopefully is the peak of his powers. I get it if you don't want anything to do with it. I really, truly do. I'm not trying to convince you one way or the other, but I can say wholeheartedly, I see the vision. And if I didn't, if I went and turned on the tape, I'm not trying to be like just the opposite, right? Of like, oh, you know, everyone thinks that this is a bad idea. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look extra smart because I'm going to actually say it is a good idea. No, this tape is crap. I want truth. I want honesty. I want real, right? I'm telling you that when I watch the tape, real, honest, truthful, it's a lot of freaking fun. And I like the player and I think he can become a Chandler Jones type player. What he's waiting for? Hopefully his next team, not his next life. Hopefully it's the Green Bay Packers. And they sign him, and you see a similar Za'Darius Smith breakout that we saw with Za'Darius in his first year in Green Bay, and he can become that Chandler Jones type player sooner rather than later. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. You're the best. Cannot thank you enough. I love doing this, and I appreciate all your support. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Steph Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jake Conner. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.